Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Welcome, folks, to Christ Today, your Christian show. It comes on to you every week from 11 to 12 every Saturday, and it's to inform you, encourage you, and lift up the name of Jesus, and to talk about not good news, not bad news, but the great news, which is Jesus Christ himself, and what he's doing in the lives and hearts of people today. And about 2 weeks ago, I was at a place called the Farmers Market downtown, and I ran into a person in the medical field who does chiropractic care, and got a chance to talk to him, and he's a Christian, so I asked him to come on today and talk about how he came to the Lord and how he got saved, and he's going to share with you folks about that. So let's discuss that if we can.
Sure.
So Dr. Segrest, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to the Lord.
Well, that's going to be a windy road.
you can make it not so long.
Okay, good. Let's see. I was born and raised in San Diego to two lovely parents that loved me, loved my family. We had a wonderful upbringing. Everything was great. But they were never really interested in going to church. That wasn't their drive. They were had other things, you know, when I'd ask about what happens when we die and where do we go, all the normal questions that kids ask. I never really felt like I got a good answer from them, that something was missing. So I had a friend of mine, really neat guy named Mika Hale, one of my friends in my neighborhood, who his dad and his mom would go to the Seventh-day Adventist church. Mm-hmm. And so they invited me to go one time. And I remember that was my first experience walking into the church, and it was a Seventh-day Adventist church. Mm. A lot of wonderful people, but boy, were they touched by the Lord. They were feeling it. They were chanting and yelling and raising their hands and a lot of hallelujahs. And I remember being in the back of the room, just kind of going, "Wow, what is this? This is so different to me. What are they doing? Why is this happening? What is going on?" I had so many questions. So I sat back and I just kind of watched it and took it all in. And about, you know, another week goes by and I say, "Hey, can I go with you again to church?" And they said, "Yeah, of course." So I ended up going with my friends to church for probably a good 4 or 5 times just on my own. And I think that's when I started setting the roots inside of me about being a seeker, you know, someone who was looking for God but didn't have the guidance from their parents, mm-hmm. you know. But I knew that something was missing in my life, and I knew that there was more to my life than just me, and that there had to be. Because I like to try and stay humble, and that just seemed kind of crazy to imagine that you knew everything. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way my whole life. So as I got older and life went on.
Okay. What got you started?
I was at Chico State going through classes, trying to get into a physical therapy school, trying to get straight A's, all that good stuff. And then one night I was out in downtown Chico living the college lifestyle, and I managed to put myself in front of a car. And I got... I got hit by a car, and I deserved it. And afterwards, I kind of slunk off into the shadows and went home. And I did like every college student does. You call your mom and you say, "Mom, my back hurts." And she asks why. And of course, I don't tell her. I say, "You know, it just hurts." And she says, "Well, go see a chiropractor." And at the time, I had been raised under more of a Western pain care model, which is you go to the doctor and you get some pills for pain, and that's what you would do. Mm-hmm. Instead, she said, "Go to the chiropractor." And that kind of threw me off. And I was like, "Well, okay." And so she calls one for me, lines them up. His name is Dr. Turner, Dr. Richard Turner. He's in
town. Here in Chico, right?
Yeah, great man. I enjoy him very much. To him, he took an x-ray of my back. He adjusted my bone and the back that was out of place. And immediately I could stand up straight. And I remember thinking to myself, "Well, what was that? How did that work?" Because I had been used to a different model. I didn't understand adjusting someone's spine, getting rid of pain, and making the body healthier again. So he continued to treat me for about, I don't know, 5 or 6 treatments, something like that. The pain went away, and he released me from care, and then I continued to go towards physical therapy. And then one day I was sitting back after going through 2 years of volunteering as a physical therapy assistant, decided I just wasn't enjoying it. I didn't like what I was doing. I felt like it was the same thing over and over, and there were some other issues I just had with it. So I said, "Well, what else is out there?" I went and saw Dr. Turner and said, "Would you mind if I shadow you?" And he said, "No problem." So I shadowed him for about a week. And then he sent me to see Dr. Rogers, Aaron Rogers.
Dad.
And we saw him. I shadowed him for another week. And then he went told me to go see Dr. Dollinger. And I went to Dr. Dollinger's office, and he was so busy, I thought, I don't even want to bug this guy. By then, I already knew that's what I wanted to do. So I went into chiropractic, and I asked for Dr. Turner's recommendation, and he gave me one, and so did Dr. Rogers. And I went to Palmer Chiropractic College and kind of just all started from there.
Palmer, is that here in Chico?
No, Palmer is the main campus is in Des Moines, Iowa, and then they have a couple of other satellite campuses, one in San Jose and a new one in Port Orange, Florida.
Okay, so getting back to today's Paradise Young and Heart, how do you help the young at heart with their health if they come to you? What are some of the things that you do where you would be able to offer them, or help? How would you be able to help them?
Helping the seniors to me is a very rewarding and yet challenging prospect. I enjoy it. Most seniors come in with what I jokingly call mileage on the frame. Mm-hmm. They've had some years, they've had some miles, they've fallen out of the back of a pickup truck, or they've had 8 kids, or everybody has a different story, and as we get older, the stories get more and more broad and more varying, and you get to see and hear a lot of different things about their life, and it's very fun for me to take their history and understand what happened to them over their life, what trauma was involved, what was their job, what was the repetitive motions they had to do, and how did it affect their spine and their health and their living. First thing I do with anybody that comes in my office complaining of pain is touch it, talk to them, understand what's going on, take a complete history, do a complete physical exam, and if necessary, take an x-ray so that I can see exactly where the bone is out of place, where the problem's coming from, and the level of degeneration that's in our spine. Hmm. The body starts to degenerate naturally. We know none of us like to say that, but After about age 30 or so, if you look at it from a strictly biological standpoint, our bodies start to degrade because we're no longer going to be reproducing as much, so the body starts to change. For example, after age 30, we lose 10% of our muscle mass for every decade.
So when we 10% for every decade?
Yeah.
That's so after age 30?
After age 30. So if a patient comes into me and they're 70, I already know off the beginning that they've lost 40% of their muscle mass.
Wow.
And that's you can't get that back. No matter how much you work out, no matter how much you take care of yourself. I like to think of Jack LaLanne. Here's a man that was in amazing health, amazing shape, could pull boats with his mouth.
Yeah.
Just incredible things. But when you looked at him, you understood he was still a part of the aging process. He wasn't escaping it. No one ever does. I love to say Father Time is undefeated. It never loses. So we have to address that into the office and understand that they've lost muscle mass, that they can no longer support their core weight. Most of my elderly patients, unfortunately, aren't doing some form of regular exercise. So stiffness, achiness, soreness, all those things start to increase the more and more the body is.
So we're getting into the snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah.
So now, Rice Krispies doesn't help, so come to you as a chiropractor and you'll be able to give them what they need, the proper adjustments and stuff.
You got it.
But you're not like Matt McCowan, who uses the Nordic or anything, whatever he uses, those type of machines. You basically work with them one-on-one and get to the problem.
You got it. Dr. McCowan uses the DRX-9000.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah. And that is a decompression table. It's meant to take pressure off the spine and rehydrate the discs and to do a lot of other varying things that are great for the spine. Do not have the DRX-9000. I don't do a lot of decompression. I refer people to get an inversion table at home. I find it's fairly cost effective and of similar delivery, as long as the patient and the elderly doesn't have any heart problems, because then we get into areas of inversion of the heart and blood pressure. So, but that being said, talk to your doctor first before starting any inversion therapies. But I do use my hands in my office. I find that putting my hands on the spine and moving the bone allows the spine to stop degenerating.
Okay.
Allows the bones to move, the spine to move, the muscles to basically be happier, and stiffness and soreness all start to decrease over time. And then we can restore a certain quality of life or a function of life that I feel is important for us all to enjoy.
Well, that's interesting news. I'm glad that you brought that on, and I'm glad that you shared that with us.
Yeah.
So how does a person get in touch with you if they need your help?
I have a couple different ways. You can always call my office, which is 530-809-1077.
And speak to your wonderful receptionist.
Yes, Miss Jimena. She's fantastic. She's been a wonderful addition to the office. Very friendly, very helpful. Check us out online at northvalleycairo.com.
Okay.
And I have a couple of reviews that I find people find are helpful to read and review me and check me out before they even come in the office. And I encourage you to do that.
Okay.
That's probably the most common ways, is just by phone or by my internet, and then coming in the office and just seeing what I can do.
All right. Well, folks, my young at heart listeners, you've heard it today from chiropractor Dr. Stephen Segrist, and feel free to give him a call. Feel free to talk to him. Feel free to go in and see him, and I'm sure he'll be able to get you back together again. And you don't want that snap, crackle, pop feeling? Go to him. He's a good chiropractor. I met him. I tend to like his personality, like who he seems to be, and he's got a deal going on right now. So give him a call and talk to him. I'm sure he'll be glad to help you.
With our elderly population, most of us are under Medicare.
Okay.
And with Medicare, there is coverage for chiropractic.
Okay.
In case they have questions about how, you know, affording it. Medicare allows you to have one adjustment per month or 12 adjustments in a calendar year, depending upon however you want to use those visits. So you do get 12 completely paid for visits through Medicare. The only thing you would have to pay for in my office is your first office visit, where we talk about your exam, the consultation, and any x-rays, but I try and keep those costs down for everybody.
Yeah, very inexpensive on that, right?
Yeah, very inexpensive. $27 for your exam, consultation, if any x-rays, that's included.
Well, there you go, folks.
So I did want them to know, though, that
okay,
I didn't get close enough to God until as I got older and I had my own kids and I started thinking about things, and I was wondering and I'm going, gosh, I don't want to do that with my kids. I don't want them to not have answers, to not have something to lean on, to not understand that there is more to life than just you and this physical body that you're in. And so I started looking more and more into it. And by then I had moved out to Tennessee and was with my lovely wife, April, and we started going to a first Baptist church. It was the first church we went to. And it was great. We had a wonderful experience. The preacher was amazing. He even helped my wife, who I still think to this day has some issues struggling with it. But he said that, you know, you don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. That relationship is inside of you, mm-hmm. and it can be at any time in your day. It doesn't have to be on Sundays.
Exactly.
And I just felt like, ha-ha, that's what she needed to hear. That's what mm-hmm. I needed to hear. That's what I feel like was the most important thing for me to realize as a seeker was it wasn't about finding the right church or finding a right place or a right time. It's about finding him and being closer to him.
Yes.
So that's what I started to gather as time went on.
Discovering who he is.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so time goes on, and I kind of just kind of bounced around different churches in Knoxville trying to find one that I like still, all the while starting to read the Bible and understanding little things but having a lot of questions. I found it really difficult to read the Bible. It was the art for those and shouts were just losing me. And I had to reread the sentence I just read a bunch of times, and I just found it was so not my style of reading.
Hmm.
So again, it was hard for me to reach him. Mm-hmm. So my life continues on. I come back to California from Tennessee. I start practicing with Dr. Scott Joyce at Joyce Family Chiropractic. And I'm there one day when Father Pinto comes in. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was going to be a moment that changed my life. He comes in wearing the full-on Catholic robe, the sandals, the rosary beads. And I just remember just thinking, wow, I mean, this man is amazing. You could feel a spirit through him that I couldn't explain. And we had talked a couple of times just about general things and chiropractic things about his back and different issues. And then one day he comes up to me and says, I'd like to get, you know, Dr. Joyce says, Father Pinto would like to give you a blessing. And I remember actually feeling nervous,
mm-hmm.
like, well, I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, who's going to say no to that? Father Pinto trained under Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, there has to be a reason this man is in front of me who did most of his work in India. And now he's in Chico, California. Like, what puts him in my life and in that moment and in that time other than God? So it made more sense to me why Father Pinto was in my life and why he was here. And then when he wanted to give me the blessing, I realized there was no more seeking or running or anything. It was time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down. He came in the room with me, and he just starts talking to me. And he basically, from what I asked him afterwards, is he let God talk through him to me.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he said to me was about my history and about my past and about things in my life that I had not forgiven myself for.
It's like a modern day prophet speaking in your life.
Yeah. It was that heavy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share one with everybody. When I was in high school, I received a full ride football scholarship to play for a team in Ohio, and I went all the way out there. And I remember my parents being so happy. And I went out there, and I get out there, and I decide I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Ohio, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And so I basically quit, and I said, I'm not going to play football in Ohio. I'm going to go back to San Diego, and I'm going to go to a junior college and play with my friends and be around my girlfriend from high school and go back to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And then as time went on, I started to regret it, thinking about the pressure it put on my mom and dad and the financial burden it placed on them after they had already witnessed and celebrated their son having a full ride football scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, as you get older, kind of still eat at you.
Mm-hmm.
Not succeeding in something that you took on and then quitting something. I had never done that before, but in the moment seemed so right. And now looking back, it's something that I really regret and wish I would have never done. But that day with Father Pinto changed it all.
Mm-hmm.
He just basically said to forgive myself. But that's what God wanted. He wants me to forgive myself, that I've punished myself enough and it's time to move on.
So you did that.
I did that. And I did it at that moment when he said it, because I looked up to him. I said, how do you know this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he said, well, you know, God speaks through me.
Mm-hmm.
And I let myself go to you. And that was when it was just, for me, it was a wow moment. I mean, no one had known the feelings and the pressure I had had about that decision and about what I had put myself through since.
What was the result of that?
Oh, man, relief. Relief, pressure off the chest. You know, I can't help but even think about it, getting a little emotional now.
It's all right.
It was he just knew. I can't explain it. I just felt it. And he had the spirit coming through him and was sharing it with me. And it was very overwhelming. It still is when I think back to it. Yeah.
Listeners, you're listening to KKXX Christ Today on 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. And if you have any feedback or any questions or anything that you want to share or anything that you, any guest out there that you feel will be good on my program, feel free to call 894-7325. We are speaking to Dr. Segrest from North Valley Chiropractic, and he's been sharing his testimony. So we're going to get back to the show and let him speak. So go ahead, Dr. Segrest. Sorry about that.
No worries. Yeah, so the experience with Father Pinto was by far the biggest moment pushing me towards God in my life, and to stop the questioning, to stop everything else, and just fully commit, and to raise my children that way, to find a church based on fellowship, not based on me having to go somewhere or be somewhere, but finding other like-minded individuals that share the same thoughts, mm-hmm. that are the same way. And so that's when I started searching for a church in Chico. I went to a couple different churches. All of them were great, but it just either it was. It's interesting because as a newfound person coming to the Lord, is that you go to church with these expectations in your mind about what it should be and what it shouldn't be, you know. But you don't have any idea because you haven't spent your whole life in a church. So what are you really comparing it to? You don't know. Mm-hmm. But I would go to one and I'd say, well, that's too much music. Mm-hmm. I want more message, you know. And then I go to another one and I think, well, I like the message, but I didn't like the messenger, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting as when you're coming to the Lord, you've got to find, and anyway, in my opinion, I had to find somewhere that I resonated, that mm-hmm. felt like home. Mm-hmm. I found that at EV Free. It was fantastic. I went there, went to a couple services, enjoyed it. It had the right amount of a mix of music and the right amount of message. And then, again, God touched me and says, okay, listen up. I'm in your life again. What happened was one day I'm sitting in the service, and they called up Pastor Lou. And Pastor Lou comes up there, and I look at him, and I go, I can't believe it. That's Pastor Lou Diaz. And Pastor Lou, I had met in the office. So he had came in with some back pain, and hopefully he doesn't get mad at me for saying that. But we helped him, and he was feeling better. And so life went on, right? Well, then all of a sudden, here comes Pastor Lou up there one day to talk. Mm-hmm. And he comes up in front of everybody, and he's talking, and he's delivering a wonderful sermon, and you could feel the passion and the energy coming from him. And during his sermon, he went into the fact how he had back pain, and he was hurting, and he went to see a chiropractor, and it made it feel better. And I just remember thinking, like, how does that happen that I'm sitting here in this church, and all of a sudden
God works in mysterious ways.
I mean, I imagine how many sermons he's given and never mentioned his experience with chiropractic that day.
He recognized you.
Yeah. I don't know. There was a lot of people. But I feel like I did go up to him afterwards and say, hey, you know, thanks for helping me find a home. And he was wonderful. Gave me a big hug and said, welcome. So to me, that's just my story, you know. And now I have three beautiful children, an 8, a 7, and a 5-year-old. And we're raising them to understand that, you know, there's more to life than just you, that there's God, and that there's a heaven, and there's a place for you when you die, and there's people on this planet that still love you, and that will love you if they're not your family, that will love you because we share the same love for God. And there's a lot of wonderful things that I look forward to in the rest of my life now, sharing with my children and sharing with them the word and bringing them closer to God and leading my family. I think that's probably one of the things that we overlook sometimes, is that, you know, you have to be a leader for your family. You have to lead them to understand, so they can understand why we're doing what we're doing and where we're going. And it's really important. And I find leading them to the Lord is probably one of the most easy and challenging things all at the same time. And it shouldn't be, but it is.
So you went from religion to relationship.
Yes.
From God removing the guilt and shame off your life that you had been dealing with so badly, to the point of where you had doubts and questions about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime during that time where you thought about giving up or quitting or walking away from it completely at all, where you see, I mean, I'm trying to come up with the right way to ask you this, where all of a sudden God showed up to show you that he cared for you to stay on course and to not give up. I mean, was there a point where you were, what's up, what am I doing all this for? Why? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do.
I'm having a hard time with
the
question.
I think I get what you're going to. Was there ever something that kind of pushed me away or dissuaded me from continuing my search?
Yeah, and from also just basically giving up on life. I mean, with all the guilt and shame that you were facing with all the stuff that was going on, and maybe not feeling like you were being a good leader, not alone, a good follower. Yeah. And I mean, did any of that stuff occur?
No, you know, excuse me. No, that didn't happen for me as far as to that extreme. It really didn't. I think the reason why it didn't was because of chiropractic care. And I know that seems really strange to someone who's not a chiropractor every day, but anybody who's listening that's a chiropractor or been around us or knows us well is that we go every day to serve. That's what I do. I am embarrassing to say, but I am a tool between God and you. And that's what I do, is I adjust your spine to remove interference so your body can heal itself without drugs or surgery, because that's not what was intended. It's real simple. So every day I performed my duty, which I believe is to serve all of mankind, as many people as I can, to provide a healthier lifestyle. Then I was in service to him, you know, and I knew that, but didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. I had patients come in who would tell me it, but I didn't understand it. I had lots of amazing, wonderful people who had a much stronger conviction for the Lord than I did at the time, always leading and guiding me, but I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They were constantly encouraging me and, you know, bless you, Dr. Segrist, and you know, you're wonderful, and thank you so much for your help. And the whole time I would tell them, well, I didn't fix you. You know, I'm not the one that fixed you. I removed the interference and your body fixed you, which really was an inference to God.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, every day that I got to work, or I get to work in chiropractic, I realize it's in service.
Yeah. So do you feel that that's your gift that God gave you?
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to say there was one gift that I can look at, is that he put me in the position with the people, person, places, and things that I needed to survive and thrive and to help a lot of people on the way. And, you know, I'm 6'3", 270 pounds. I'm not a small guy, but I'm a Division I college football athlete that's coordinated and athletic, so I can control my weight, my body, my pressure. And by doing so, I've helped a lot of people by having that ability, and I'm positive that came from him.
So. Do you share with them about your faith, about your relationship with the Lord? Anybody comes in that's having a hard time, or have you yet begun to do that? Or
that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because I was always trained in chiropractic to avoid the big, what we call the poles, where someone polarizes, and they can polarize to religion or politics really easy. So for me, having to keep part of my business as a business, it was best for me not to always get into conversations about politics or religion. But it was really easy to detect who has faith and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that did, we would have conversations immediately. I could tell right away if they were a follower, if they have been touched by God, and what their thoughts were. And if they started to share anything that was, you know, well, hey, you know, bless you, Dr. Segrist, or you know, when I'd say, oh, you're pretty lucky. Oh, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Then you do understand. All right. Okay. Let's talk, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I could share things with them, and I would many times, and I'd have them share their stories. So, unfortunately, I don't get to just blanketly apply it to all of my practice, which I'm sure I could, but I still have to run the business side of it all, unfortunately. But I do get on multiple occasions, like with one of my great patients, John and Loretta, we get to talk about it all the time. So,
Did anybody ever ask you to pray for them in the sessions?
Yeah. And I've had them pray for me.
That's cool.
So, it's an amazing experience to have someone in there praying with you and you know, for your strife or struggles, and the same thing back to them.
Do you work on kids?
I do. It's different with kids. Everybody sees me and goes, wow, you're a big guy. And I go, yep, but I don't do the same force and the same adjustments with children that I do with adults.
How do you work with children?
Just everything more gentle. Yeah, I mean, I'm already a gentle guy, but with a child, the adjustments don't have to be aggressive. They don't have to be very much. They're perfect to begin with. God made them that way. It's just they have small interferences with their growth. I like to say, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're have an alteration in their spine or an issue at their spine as a young age, they're going to grow into that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I can catch it early and correct it the best I can, I might be able to help them avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, educate their parents on different things they could do to support their child.
Mm-hmm.
So all around, chiropractic is wonderful for children.
I want to ask you another question.
Shoot.
We got some time. We've got quite a few minutes. But I've been told, and I believe this, that anger, fear, stress, anxiety, tension, all this stuff can play into how the body functions, how it works, how it develops what it develops, such as the aches and the pains that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel that a lot of people, that if they came to you, that if they would deal with anger issues or frustration issues or guilt issues by turning to God, that maybe they wouldn't have as much upon their body as they do coming to you? Or do you feel
take out the word maybe, they wouldn't have as many problems.
So God is a necessity in this.
Yeah,
if they would turn to God, they wouldn't necessarily.
You hit it on the head. A ton of it is due to stress, and a ton of it is due to those issues. You're talking now about the mind-body connection.
Yeah.
And it's been proven time and time again, you know, that if the mind isn't right, neither is the body. So, yeah. The short answer to that is yes. If we could get those things to be under more control, there would be a lot less pain and suffering. Physical, too. So, yeah.
So, the world is more or less, the things of the world, the cares of the world and stuff is more or less causing the damage, more so than not eating right, not eating proper, not taking. Because when you don't care, you don't do what's right. But these cares and these trials and these difficulties that kids face, a lot of kids face because they grow up in homes that are dysfunctional. They grow up in homes that are stressful, that are tenseful, that there's a lot of mom and dad at each other, or dad's not there, and they feel like they're the blame of it, or they feel like they're the guilty one, and so they start carrying all this guilt and shame on them without even recognizing it, and then they have to come to you for treatment, not knowing what's wrong with them. Can you a lot of times detect if it's a physical issue or it's a spiritual issue?
Oh, wow. I'd like to say I could, but I don't say that I necessarily go out looking for that. You know, my wife always gives me a hard time, and because she worked with me in the office for a while, and she mm-hmm. said that part of your problem is that you spend so much time with the patient because you're listening, and you're not a psychologist. So what are you doing? She wants me to get in and get out, and I just laugh and understand that people need more time for me. A lot of what I do is listen, and you would be surprised at how much a good doctor can be defined by one simple word, which is listening. A lot of the times I hear patients complain about their doctors, and the biggest problem is they don't feel like they were listened to, mm-hmm. that he wasn't paying attention, that he didn't really care. You know, he was just standing in the back of the room with a pen and a prescription pad and saying, So for me, I like to ask questions and get to the parts that you don't want to get to, and they might take a long time to get through and talk about them, but I found it for me, and I don't know anybody else, hopefully you all agree with me, is that talking about things is therapeutic. You know, getting these thoughts, you know, these stresses, these fears, this anger, all of this stuff verbalized and out of you helps a lot. It doesn't necessarily help chiropractors, and if there's any listening, I hope you guys remember this too, and gals, is some of the best advice I got was from Dr. Scott Joyce. His father, Ned Joyce, was a chiropractor in Orland. And served, so many people, so many amazing stories, you wouldn't believe it. And the thing that he told Scott on his deathbed, actually, was don't own it. It's not ours to own.
No.
Patients come in with their problems and their fears and angers and everything, and they want to talk to you about it. And we want to listen because we want to help people. That's who chiropractors are. But we can't own it because it will kill us.
Yeah.
The stress that they put into us by that communication starts to become heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had patients tell me about they have to leave their husband or leave their wives because of problems in their marriage. I can't tell you how many people have told me about their moms or their dads or their sisters, brothers, mothers, aunts, uncles, people they love dying.
Mm-hmm.
To the happy ones about them getting a job, you mm-hmm. know. But it's so up and down that as a chiropractor, you can't own that stress, but you naturally want to talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd hope if someone's listening that's a chiropractor, hey, remember I told you, don't own it. And mm-hmm. hopefully I'm saying that back to myself, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you do sit in the rooms and you do discuss their fears, their angers, their emotions, and you have to address that.
But by being a good hearer and being a good listener,
mm-hmm.
and by really seeing where they're coming from, that can kind of give you an idea on what needs to be addressed.
Oh, yeah.
And by giving you the idea of what needs to be addressed, you can help them conquer whatever that thing is that's keeping them bound up or keeping them from being able to be free in their body where they can move around and have no pain and stuff. So by it does pay to be a good listener. It does pay to hear the people when they come to you. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot, and I'm not downing anybody out there in the medical field if you're listening. I'm not downing any chiropractors, any doctors. But if they're listening and they're really caring and they're really hearing, then they're going to be able to get to the point of what the problem is a lot of times and be able to help that individual out with that situation, are they not?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, that you nailed it. The listening part is the one that I get the biggest complaints about. my slogan on my card is we listen, we care, we get results.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with we listen. I found it really entertaining when I read that John Muir Hospital in the Bay Area spent a couple millions of dollars doing focus groups to figure out a new slogan as to what people would understand and resonate to that would make them connect. And they spent all this money to come back with two words, we listen. So it's what the patients want now. It's what they need is they need someone that actually cares, doesn't mm-hmm. just say it, but can sit down, look you in the eye, listen to you, write it down, touch where you say it hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bond and say, I understand. I'm with you. I care. Let's get this feeling better. That's what somebody wants, and that's what we all need from another human being. It's basically saying, I love you, I accept you, and let me help.
And I think a lot of people that come to you may not just be coming to you because they need to have their ills or their aches addressed, but they're coming to you right primarily for what you just said, because they know you care.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I think they get the feeling they walk out of the office, not your office per se, but out of offices going, why'd I even go? They don't seem to care.
Yeah.
And they can tell that. And because they don't feel that person cares, whatever that person went there for, they didn't receive.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does pay to have faith as an integral part of your business. So even if you're praying silently or you're asking the Lord silently, like this Father Pinto was doing with you.
Yeah.
That's a necessary component for a believer to bring into their business, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is. Again, though, you get into that issue of that word you said was business.
Mm-hmm.
Business is a lot of the things that are wrong with the world today. It's because it's centered on money.
Exactly.
In my office, and I say this to all my patients, so I'll say it on the radio too, is I don't focus on making a lot of money off one person. I've been around offices that have done that, and now I'm owning my own place. I want to focus on helping a lot of people and making money by helping a lot of people, not how much money can I make from one person. So therefore, I'm in service, and I'll get rewarded from that by God and by helping more people and not trying to take more from one person. That doesn't make any sense, but serve as many as you can
mm-hmm.
and help a lot of them, and you'll be rewarded. And so that's where I approach everything too. But unfortunately, the business side of everything gets involved. Even with those doctors that, you know, we like to bash that are sitting in the corner with their prescription pads going, you know, they're being controlled by business.
Mm-hmm.
They have someone that's monitoring them, making sure they're in and out of the room in 7 minutes. And that's all you get is 7 minutes. And it's timed. You know, they have timers in their pockets that vibrate that's telling them to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they're necessarily bad people at all. I just think that there's a business aspect that gets put into healthcare that doesn't belong, because true healthcare is going to be about listening, loving, and understanding somebody. And you don't always get that opportunity when business is overriding everything.
You really don't. So how do you separate business from ministry in your business? How would you separate business from ministry? Still keep it a business, but still be able to minister at the same time. And even with people not even really recognizing what you're doing, you don't have to let people know what you're doing all the time.
For me, it's individual prayer.
Okay.
I'm literally, I can't tell you how many times I go and put my hand on somebody and say, please, God, guide my hand. Please, God, help me help this person.
Well, that's a necessary component.
It guides me now. You know, ever since my experiences with Father Pinto and my coming to the Lord is I'm actually touching people with prayer in my mind and love in my mind, saying, let me help you. Please, God, let this help this person. Please, God, let me help them. Guide my hands. I mean, I'm always thinking those thoughts now as I've gotten older and closer to the Lord. But again, your question was, how do we separate that with business? It's just tough because you got that polarizing question again of is if this person I'm talking to is agnostic, and I'm saying, please God help me guide my hands, he might end up sitting up and saying, you know what, I didn't want that in this visit.
No.
And I don't appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and leave now.
Yeah.
And then now that one person goes out and goes online and says, you know, Dr. Segrist forces religion on you.
Yeah. Right?
And unfortunately, in the business climate we're at, that's a bad deal. And with
it
referrals
is.
And Googles and all these other things. So I really have to dance that line of making everybody happy and appeasing everybody. But what I've been able to do is appease myself with prayer
mm-hmm.
and say, this is where I bring it in, is mm-hmm. it's with me. And then if someone says, you know, makes any kind of comment that I know they have faith, then I can go there with them and we can have that conversation.
Well, that's interesting. So how might you encourage somebody listening today, or what might you say to somebody that's out there today that's really going through a hard time, or maybe they're hurting, or maybe they're having issues with their body or whatever? How might you address them today, being that you can address them, being that you're in a studio and not your office?
And they're believers.
Yeah. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them? How might you bring home something to them that could be a benefit?
What I always tell everybody in my office that I know is a believer, and I've never read this in scripture, but I believe it in my heart, is that God doesn't make junk.
Repeat that.
God doesn't make junk.
No, he makes masterpieces.
That's
instead, right?
Right. So why give up on yourself like you're a piece of junk? Your body is going to heal. It will recover. It's just a matter of when. And I know you don't have the patience right now for this pain, but it's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And your body is going to heal because of what he's made is a masterpiece. And it's not going to fall apart. And it will come back together. You just have to stay positive and believe that. And then we have to do things together to increase your strength, change your nutrition, change the way your sleeping habits, make the spine start to move again so the body can heal, address where you need support issues, make sure you get put in with the right doctor. If it's not with me, that I make sure and find somebody that can help you that I believe follows the same kind of idea as I do. And I find that's where those patients need the help. And, you know, a lot of the times, Curtis, is there are no words.
Mm-mm.
You know,
a lot of times there's not.
There's no words. We all like the hardest one is when someone comes in and says, "My dad died." Well, what are you going to say to that? You know, you have understandings of my faith, but I have that business side. I can't go there and explain to them. It's all good. You know?
Sometimes it's better off say yep. nothing and just pray silently.
That's
than to say something and
exactly.
not pray.
Exactly.
And
so
I think the same God that guides your hands also guides your heart and guides your intentions and your mind and your mm-hmm. ability to understand what that person needs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some times where you really fill that in on them about, you know, how they would just turn over to God, things would be different. But you know in your heart that if you did that, it wouldn't be the right thing to do. But then there may be times where you feel that you need to share something with them. So you just ask them, you know, are you a believer? Can I share something
yep.
with you? And if they are not a believer, say, okay, I didn't want to push anything in you. I just wanted to ask.
Yep.
And, you know, because I think there's people that may leave your office and they leave not having been adjusted or because they're not willing to let go themselves. I think in order to be healed from that pain or to be relieved from that pain, you have to be willing to let go.
Yeah.
I just heard somebody say last week, you got to get over it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people want to hold on to stuff and not get over it,
yes.
not let go.
Yes.
And that's what causes people like you to have such a hard job in dealing with them and trying to help them.
Yeah. If you find someone that truly does love and care for you and wants to help you and you're holding on to those things, you are literally walking with one foot behind you. You are just struggling and it's mm-hmm. going to always be dragging. And until you pick it up and move forward, it's not going to get better. So it's really easy for someone sitting in the studio who's not in pain, who doesn't feel their back hurting or this problem with their digestive system or their heart or, you know, the fear that comes with everything. It's really easy to sit here and talk about it. But to walk in those shoes, to feel that fear and that anxiety and that pain, that's something that you know, I don't want to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand that it's real and that it's really uncomfortable. And it's painful, and there's a lot of doubts that come in your mind, but it doesn't have to stay this way. You can get better. You have to stay positive because the alternative is not an alternative. You have to stay positive and think it's going to get better because God makes masterpieces, not junk. So,
and speaking out of your mouth mm-hmm. can also have an effect on your mind. If you're consistently telling yourself, I'm in a bad shape, I'm ill, I'm this, I'm that, and you're speaking negative all the time, it just goes in line with what your mind is saying, and your body's not going to get any better. But if you speak, I'm better, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling better, it's not lying to yourself. It's just claiming what God's word says, and God's word should be spoken over us. So we don't have to lie, but we have to accept his word and then speak his word over us that says, yeah, I may not be feeling good, but you know what? Today's a good day. I'm blessed and I'm healed by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, because of what he did for me. And I have a relationship with him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, I suggest get one. I'm sure Dr. Segrist would agree with me that time is running out, people.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how much longer we got, but I'm sure that before you get to a certain age or before you get to a few more years, I'm sure something's going to happen where, you know, it's important today to make a decision whether or not you're going to serve God and you're going to turn to him and let him be the one that can help you with these problems and give you the answers, because all Dr. Segrist can do is he can just work on your body. But Jesus Christ, he can work on your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, and he can change you and he can take away the pain that Dr. Segrist can't. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that go to doctors and expect them to fix the issue. And you know what? They can give you all the medications in the world, but the medications in the world aren't going to do any good if you don't take them. Mm-hmm. The medications in the world will end up giving you bad side effects, will end up giving you bad results, because they're not meant to make you better. They're meant to take away the symptoms, but not take away the problems. Only Jesus Christ can take away what's really the results of the problems. He's the one that can fix the symptoms. He's the one that can reverse it. He's the one that can turn everything around. But we need to turn to him. We don't need to be turning to medicine. I'm not against medicine. If you need medicine, you need medicine. There's naturals and alternatives out there. And I think Dr. Segrist would probably be able to vouch or to say good stuff in regards to naturals, in regards to vitamins and minerals and supports like that. But even they're not the answer. They do help, but they're not the answer. Jesus Christ made natural for nature. He didn't make a drug to make you better. But if you're going to turn to a drug and you're going to get addicted to drug, get addicted to the most high drug. Get addicted to the most high medication. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's got all the answers for your body, for your mind, for your spirit. He can do more for you than I can or Dr. Segrist can. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this show today is to encourage you in the faith, because you may be getting sick in your spirit. You may be getting sick at heart. You may be growing feeble. You may be growing weary. Like, when's all this stuff going to end? Isn't it going to get better? Can I tell you that until Jesus comes, it's not going to get better? Mm-hmm. But you can be better depending on where your mind, your focus, and your heart's at. You can be better depending on where your relationship is with God. Is it religion, like Dr. Segrist said, or is it a real relationship? Are you battled down with doubts and fears and depressions and worries and stresses? Or is Jesus Christ your focus? Is Jesus Christ your support? People say he's a crutch. Why much rather have him as a crutch in a wheelchair than not have him at all? He is the best help that we need. And you know what? Pull out the word and read it. There's so many healing scriptures in the Bible that can be of help to you. And if you're having a battle in yourself, get somebody to pray for you. You know, Dr. Segrist is not a minister. He's a doctor. But if you go into his office because you need, let him know, hey, can you pray for me about something?
Done.
He's already said he'd do it.
Yep.
But these doctors and stuff, if they're Christians and they're willing to pray for you, they don't know. They're not mind readers. They can't just open up and pray over something or handle something or deal with something unless you let them know what it is. But real quickly, have you seen anybody with a complete turnaround in their body since you've been working on them that was like a miracle from God that you can't take credit for? But have you seen anything like that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's. I mean, a lot of my cases are like that every day. I think of one in particular that I was a part of that I was really proud of was a young boy came in with his father. He had 120 surgeries where they had done grafts.
Wow.
To try to repair a certain part of his body that is uncomfortable to talk about. Had not formed correctly his anus, and as a result of that, had a lot of skin grafts, and had all kinds of surgeries to try and correct it. Raised with a colonoscopy bag, when we met him, he was about 16. Was very shy, very introverted.
Mm-hmm.
Came in with his dad, and his dad told us he's going to go get his 120th surgery. And I thought, whoa. And we said, well, how about you let us take a look at him? And immediately the dad's like, well, that's skin. You guys deal with bones. And I said, well, yeah, well, let's just take an x-ray and see if we can help him, because we know that the nerves that leave at the L5-S1 joint space in S1-S2, those areas are going to be helping in that and where his problem was.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a film, and sure enough, his sacrum's completely rotated and angled in a way that would have put pressure on the nerves. So we started adjusting, and within 3 months, the problem had healed, was gone. And then the last 3 months, the bag was off.
Awesome.
So that's another one of those examples of us just removing the interference and letting the body heal it, and that's through God.
Wow.
And his whole life changed. It was great. He had a lot of fun after that. He came out of his shell. He actually wanted to ask out one of our secretaries to coffee. So I was super proud of him. Me and the other doctor were high-fiving each other, thinking, wow, you know, here's a young man that's got a whole much better look on life now after that whole experience.
I'm looking at the fact that we've just got less than a couple minutes where you have to take off. So we're going to shut this program down here in a little bit. But real quickly, can you say a prayer for our listeners? Do you feel like you can do it?
I could try. I don't know how good it would be, but I'll give it from my heart.
Why don't we both do it? Why don't you start and I'll finish?
First, I'd like to say thank you, God, for all of the wonderful blessings in my life, the family that you've blessed me with, my wonderful wife, April, the three beautiful children that I have, Darren, Mary, and Kylie, to my family and my friends, and to all of the patients that you allow me to serve. I'd like to say a prayer out to anybody who's in pain and is suffering, to keep your faith strong in God and in the Word, go closer to Him, not further from Him, to find Him and to give yourself over and to believe that you will get better and to believe that everything is for a reason.
Lord, touch our listeners out there. Help them to come to you today, Lord. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of hurts, a lot of pains, a lot of wounds, a lot of problems that even a chiropractor can't fix. But your blood at the cross did. Your life-giving at the cross did. And you love them so much that you can heal them, you can fix them, you can save them, you can change them, you can turn their lives around so that they can be healed and whole. And they can know that you're their answer and you're their soon coming King. And Lord, I pray that you touch anybody out there today that needs you, that they'd open their hearts to receive you. And Lord, we thank you that you were with us on this show today. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless every listener out there until next week. And Lord, be with them. And we just thank you for this day. And we pray that you would just touch them. And Lord, if they do need a chiropractor, that they pick up the phone and call Dr. Seekers. And Lord, we thank you for this and we praise you in your name, Lord. Amen. What's your number?
809-1077.
Feel free to give them a call, folks.
809-1077.
And until next week, we'll talk to you later. God bless you all.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.